And good afternoon, and welcome to Angel Answers with yours truly, Amy Toy. I am very honored to have a guest we had on in March, Lynn Woodland. She is an awesome lady, and we're going to be interviewing her about this great project that she's collaborating, and I'm so honored to have her. But, of course, you know we always have a few announcements before starting the show, and that is next week we have the Archangel of the Month, which will be Archangel Raziel, which will be interesting, and then Ruth Ann Mack, and then we have a couple surprises this month. I'm not going to get into it. And then we have Karen Noh, another author that's coming on at the end of the month. And so we know the new website's up. We have some glitches, but that's okay. We're all good. You can reach me on the website on angelanswers11.com, or you can email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com. Well, we have our wonderful guest, Lynn. How you doing, Lynn? How's it going today?
I'm so happy to be back.
Yes, yes. It's always great to have you on. The energy of the last show, that show we did. You're the author of Making Miracles, Create New Realities for Your Life and Our World. So you have that book out with a beautiful butterfly. I love butterflies, by the way. So I was like, cool, when I got it in the mail when I first got it. So you are an author, an international teacher, a human potential expert, and you've been doing this work since 1975. Wow.
Wow. A long time.
Yes, I know. Sometimes I feel like I've been doing this work for a very long time, too, my whole life.
Uh-huh, and, yeah, me too.
Yes, and I'm just going to, you know, you've worked in the transpersonal psychology, human motivation, spiritual healing, mind-body psychology, and now you're on to more and bigger and better things. So tell me, what more do you want the audience to know? I got some questions for you, but anything else I forgot here before we get into the questions?
That's a really good start. I mean, I can launch in and talk for 3 hours if you know, without taking a breath. So I'll let you start.
Okay, sure. It's the project that you are kind of plugging today, and I'm going to post some videos, YouTube videos, for those interested, and, you know, on the page there. It's called the Making Miracles Project. Wow, that sounds cool. And it's the New Metaphysics and the Making Miracles Project. So what do you mean by the New Metaphysics? What does that mean, Lynn? How can that help us today?
Well, I see that there is this emergence of what I call a new metaphysics that is coming about with some respect to the way people are just changing. And you know, a lot of people have been talking about the shift of 2012, and I didn't even really give it a whole lot of thought until I looked around this year and saw, wow, we really have changed in very dramatic, obvious ways that's happened quite quickly. And I think it has everything to do with humanity finding our power together. And there's all kinds of examples. I think it's been very interesting how there have been so many grassroots movements just rising up all over the world this year. In fact, Time magazine called the protester their person of the year, and noted that they've all been very independent things without a lot of instigation from the top down. And we're seeing this grassroots kind of energy happening all over the place. You know, careers can now be made by people going directly to YouTube or Facebook or crowdfunding sites where the masses are met really one by one by one without what used to be an essential intermediary of some kind of big established industry. And resource sharing is becoming a hot new business model. The Zipcar is a very successful example of that, where people can have a car by sharing rather than owning. And there's a lot of different applications for that model. And these things that are starting to shift have been facilitated by technology that we didn't have a decade or so ago. They're very new technologies. And really, technology is evolving to a place where it's starting to evolve us. And I even have come to think of some of these technologies as being sort of training wheels for what we're going to learn how to do in, with consciousness alone. But there's a way that the internet is enabling this emergence of a human hive mind that's more intelligent collectively than individual minds working separately. There's a whole new center at MIT called the Center for Collective Intelligence that's opened in just the last few years. It's just all about studying this really interesting phenomenon of human minds connected to computers, connected to everybody else's computer. And they're looking for ways to maybe tap this higher intelligence for the common good. And, you know, there's also a way that this technology is really personalizing what could just be just this anonymous massiveness of humanity. I mean, we're at a point where there's more and more people and more reasons to feel invisible and alienated, and yet we now have technologies that can connect us in very personal ways with people on other sides of the planet who we would never have any access to, you know, 10 years ago. And I believe that our technology is actually priming us for becoming global citizens and really developing a kind of global caring where we're able to reach beyond the tribe mentality of our local communities to just break down that faceless mass of humanity into people and to care. In fact, there was a very interesting example of this with the viral video Kony 2012 that portrayed a lot of atrocities being committed by the warlord Joseph Kony in Uganda. And people just watched that in the tens of millions. And it wasn't that traditional media didn't cover the story, because they did. They just weren't able to get people to care. It really took the much more personal, one-by-one, person-to-personal vehicle of YouTube for people to really start paying attention and to feel something. And I think this is the trend that we're moving, this way that we're starting to work in kind of a hive-like way. We're just assimilating this very clear message all of a sudden as a species, that we can have more for ourselves as we band together, not just locally, but globally. And for those of us committed to our personal growth and our spiritual seeking, this shift can't help but change how we go about it. And that's where I see the emergence of a whole new metaphysics that takes technology out of the mix and replaces this incredible connectivity we have via the internet with connection through intention and pure consciousness. And it actually uses that energy of consciousness, that collective energy of consciousness and intention, as a power source for manifestation, for healing, for creating common good, for creating highest good. This new metaphysics holds at its core the tenet that we're exponentially more powerful together than we can ever be separately, and that love is the most potent change agent there is. There's a way that, in other words, just as people are gathering in these grassroots demonstrations around the world, we can do the same thing through conscious intention alone. And science is really validating all this with just an amazing body of new research showing that consciousness has this virtually limitless power to transcend space, to transcend time even, and to affect physical reality. So, you know, those of us who've had any kind of metaphysical training know that that what we think is what we create. So that's mm-hmm. not something terribly new.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that we can actually connect with people over different times, I think, is really opens up new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It means that we can, simply by holding a common intention, join with people from the past, the present, the future, and in this way really create a generator-like field of energy that then can really work on behalf of everyone in the same way that a massively focused prayer going out on behalf of everyone would work.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yes, I think that we are, I think, witnessing a lot of different things in our time. There's a lot of shifts. And you, in your book, you know, you talk about time bending, I believe it's called. It's been a while since I read the book, and that's interesting you bring that out. But let's talk about, can we talk a little bit about your book? And
oh, sure.
Making Miracles, as it relates to these principles of the new metaphysics. I mean, how does that relate?
Well, I set up my book as an experiment in all of this new metaphysical principles. And it really turns readers into participants in an experiment as soon as they start reading. And maybe I could just give a really quick little example, because I think that'll
sure.
make it really clear.
Okay.
Here's how it works. This is for everybody out there listening. Just follow along with me for a moment, if you will. And who knows, this might be a miracle-making moment in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Just begin by bringing to mind some cherished heart's desire, something that you'd like to call into being. Just bring that to mind. And, you know, bring it to mind in a way that you feel it, that it feels present, just like the secret teaches us to do. You know, imagine it being here and now and till you feel good inside and all warm and fuzzy, just like law of attraction teachings tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And then let that go. Now this is where old metaphysics ends and the new metaphysics begins. So this is where it becomes a miracle experiment. Now imagine yourself able to reach out beyond time and space to every other person who is hearing these words and whoever will hear them through archives of this. You know, who knows how many that is. And you don't even have to believe this is possible. Just imagine what it would feel like if you did. And imagine that we're all joining minds, bringing only the highest and the best to the party, and that this is forming a pool of consciousness. Now, biochemist Rupert Sheldrake would call this a morphic field. And to activate this field of consciousness, now for a moment, just let yourself love all these unseen, unknown fellow listeners, and not for any particular reason, just because you can. Love them with all your heart, just like you would your nearest and dearest. And then with the biggest wave of love you can muster, send in your imagination the heartfelt wish that miracles now happen for each and every one of them. You don't need to believe this is really doing anything. Just imagine how it would feel if you did, if you really believed that your loving intention in this moment is quietly making life better for people you'll never know. And just hold that for a moment and just, you know, notice it might feel pretty good to be creating something good for people, even people you'll never know, people you'll never meet. And that's it. There, you've done it. And now people you'll never meet have just done the same for you. Again, like a massively focused prayer offered on your behalf. And there's a ton of research showing that anonymous prayer actually has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you participated in that, you've just received it in a big way. And, you know, most people will say it feels pretty good to want the best for a whole lot of unknown people. And it also feels pretty good knowing that all kinds of people we'll never know are now part of our team doing, you know, holding the intention for the best for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that little exercise is what I call a miracle experiment. And I put forth a lot of them in my book, Making Miracles, mm-hmm. just to see what might happen. And I've heard all kinds of great miracle stories of healings and manifestations. But what I have found even more significant is how many people talk about, you know, after they've told me their big ta-da miracle experience, then they talk about how, well, they just feel less alone and more loved and more mm-hmm. compassionate and connected. And I think this has an even bigger effect on quality of life. And I think I think what really can't even be gauged is the effect this is having on the world beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little quick illustration of how new metaphysics is different. It, you know, when we do the manifesting work as it's taught out there in most popular literature, it's all about bringing to mind our heart's desire and just imagining it until it happens. And that's all, you know, that's a good start. But what is very typical is that first we have that burst of, oh, wow, anything is possible. Here's my heart's desire. It feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come down from that high and we go into attachment. And then we start to wonder, well, when's it going to happen? And it hasn't happened yet. And maybe it's not going to happen. And suddenly we've shifted from this expansive energy of love to the contracted energy of attachment and fear.
Wow.
And by shifting out of that, by really shifting attention from self to all of us,
mm-hmm.
it keeps us in a place of love, first of all. So it really stops that cycle of love to attachment.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, really doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
It also, it really does create this bigger pool of energy that fuels everyone's individual manifestations. And it has a way of, I think, ending the whole duality of giving and receiving. Because we just get it in such an immediate way, an experiential way,
mm-hmm.
that as I love you and care about your highest good, that actually is the energy that fuels mine.
That is interesting, because you're right. When you want to give of yourself to others and be of service to others, you benefit as well. You get out of yourself. You know, and it's, it, you know, I love that. That was a wonderful experiment. That I love that. That was really cool. I think that's great. That's kind of where we want to be. Isn't that true? We want to be where, in that, be of service to others and think of others. And then we usually benefit, at least, like you said. So that's really cool. So, you're right about the popular law of attraction teachings being out of date. And is that what you're meaning by that? They're kind of out of date? You know, it's like you said, it's more on a self level?
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think a lot of us, especially those of us who are exploring a lot of these spiritual paths and these metaphysical practices, we really want to be good people. We want to do good for the world. And yet, so many of us have it really just imprinted in a deep way that it's better to give than receive. You know, how many of us grew up with that? And even if we've evolved it in our minds, you know, A Course in Miracles does that beautifully by taking that old axiom, turning it into giving and receiving are the same. And yet, that can be so abstract and hard to really get in an experiential way. And as long as we have a split between my highest good and yours, we're always, to be a good person always involves sacrifice. It always means I can be taking care of you or I can be taking care of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially those of us who want to live spiritual lives and do good in the world, I think we get really caught in this, and it becomes the root of a lot of scarcity issues that, you know, so many of us in spiritual communities are struggling with, not having enough money, not having enough self-love, having to learn how to take care of ourselves, you know, maybe giving more than we allow ourselves to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in this emerging metaphysics, that duality really starts to heal, so that it's not that we have to give in order to be a good person. It's that giving is the way that we personally have more, so that service isn't selfless service anymore. Service is just sacred. It doesn't have to be about myself or yourself. There's something just sacred in us all coming together on behalf of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a really big difference, because just think of all the spiritual communities you know of and how many of them just are working on their prosperity teachings and struggling with it. And, you know, they all have these teachings, and you'd think they'd be little hotbeds of prosperity, but in my experience, that's usually not the case.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Exactly. And I love that you mentioned the Course in Miracles. I've been taking up the Course in Miracles again. I started in 08, and I took a break from it. And it really has some sound teachings, too. It may be
Absolutely.
From the 70s, but it's a wonderful, you know, book that, you know, course that really, it's great. But anyway, I believe that, we're working on this stuff, you know, and it's like, where's that duality? I mean, I think that the teachings that I have of the metaphysics of the past has been, you know, talking about the duality, the good and evil, the black and white, whatever you want, but really we're all one, and that's very true. So, Lynn, what is this Making Miracles project, and what is a Making Miracles group? How can we kind of bring that into our personal lives on an individual level for the community?
Well, this is my way of taking the miracle experiment work I've been doing for the last couple of years and making it bigger. And it's really about combining the inner work of miracle making, which essentially is unconditional love. It's like that little exercise I just did, where we all reach out in love to one another to see what miracles come of it. It's about taking that inner work of miracle making and joining it with the interpersonal work of building community, because
mm-hmm.
I think community is really vital to our well-being these days as we go forward in, you know, these kind of weird, exciting, and sometimes frightening new times. It also combines, the inner work of miracle making, the interpersonal work of community building, and the outer work of service. I'm doing this as my service project as well, because what I'm offering is to personally meet with any group of four or more who would like me to, you know, come into your living room or to your book club or your spiritual community and lead you in an hour of miracle making. And I'm doing these with e-meeting technology. So I can pretty much meet with anybody anywhere, and it'll be all about, you know, I'll lead a more in-depth miracle experiment and talk about miracle making. And at the end, I'll ask people to pass the hat and take up an offering and pass it on to the Seva Foundation through an Indiegogo site we've set up for this.
Okay.
And Seva is just a wonderful organization. That it was started by Ram Dass, author of Be Here Now, and Wavy Gravy, the activist clown who is also pretty well known from the 60s and 70s, and some doctors, a group of people in the 70s who were basically spiritual seekers and were looking for a path of sacred service. That's what Seva means. It means service.
Hmm.
And they came upon the idea of restoring sight in people who would otherwise be blind in other parts of the world, because it's such a quick and easy and inexpensive fix that has a huge impact, not just on the individual, but on the family and the community. It really helps bring families out of poverty. And in fact, it only takes $50. This is amazing. $50 from the outreach to the surgery to the aftercare, on average, that's how much it takes to restore sight to a blind person.
Hmm.
You know, it really is, you know, you can buy a miracle for $50.
Wow. Wow.
When you think
miracle.
Of it that way, like, wow. So yeah. So this is my service. And if people really enjoy this experience of getting together with their friends or their spiritual community and doing miracle making, it's my hope that they might want to keep meeting and become a Making Miracles group.
Hmm.
And I have a lot of materials to help people get started and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my book was actually really written to be a tool for group work in this way, and there's a free study guide for it on my publisher's Namaste Publishing on their website. But I'm also asking groups to keep meeting, which, you know, I think is important for the community building aspect along with the miracle making part. But I'm asking them to also sponsor a service project, anything that they want that in some way serves the world beyond their own members. So, and it's not just to be a good person, just to do good work, because as I've been talking about, this miracle-making work really ends that duality of I can take care of me or I can take care of you. The service element and the community element and the inner work of unconditional love all together make the miracle work far more potent. It's such a demonstration of how we all have more as we reach out in service to everyone, whether it's the people in our immediate community, in our living room, or the people in our spiritual group, or people across the planet that we will never meet.
Mm-hmm.
And these groups that have formed are just having a great time because they see all kinds of wonderful miracles happen in their lives. But interestingly, I've noticed that even before I came up with this project and was suggesting service,
mm-hmm.
some of the groups who've been working with this material just on their own, just spontaneously start creating some kind of community service that they all do together. It's such a natural extension of this work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of what's made it really potent for them all.
Hmm. Interesting. Yes, it is. When you, like I said, get out of yourself and be of service to others, miracles do come into your life, whether
mm-hmm.
you see them. And, you know, we can make, like, a miracle count. You know, Oprah did that. She tried to, you know, count how many miracles or something, and she lost count after a while. But... you know, we can really see miracles in our own lives, and when we're of service to another person or another group of people. So, and now that so many of us, you know, have studied the law of attraction, which is interesting. I want to get back to that a little bit, the secret, and you know, all this stuff. But why aren't more of us rich or wealthy? What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, isn't it? That
yes.
These teachings are practically mainstream now, and just as we're going into this, you know, severe economic downturn over recent years. And, you know, I think it's so interesting. I think there's never been a time when such widely divergent realities of hope and fear have been pulling at us. And, you know, as we've been saying, you know, you'd think at least all the unities and the, you know, the new thought communities that have prosperity teachings at their heart would just be flowing in prosperity, but sometimes they're the poorest folks of all. And I think that while a lot of what law of attraction teachings show us is really important. They teach us the power we have to separate ourselves from the collective experience and create our own reality. And I think that's a lesson we all, you know, we need to know, and that it's not a selfish thing to
mm-hmm.
love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the big message that came out in the 80s when a lot of these teachings first came out with Louise Hay and Shakti Gawain. And, you know, and when you look at when they first came out in a big way, it really was such a me era, the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
but I
big
believe
hair.
Right now, where I believe now that really the power of the collective experience is calling us to have a collective experience rather than
mm-hmm.
separate from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something that we need to do in order to change our personal experience. And that may mean, first, just acknowledging how we're all part of the collective, and as part of the collective, helped to create the state of financial malaise that we're all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's not hard to see how a me-first attitude got us into this mess,
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to blame it on the greedy banksters and the big corporations and crooked politicians and so on. I think it's a lot harder to see all the ways that me consciousness is something we're all a part of. You know, I liked how Elizabeth Kubler-Ross always said, we all have an inner Mother Teresa and an inner Hitler.
I never heard that one before.
Yeah, she said that a lot. It's the truth. You know, we all have our inner greedy bankster or whatever. And you know, the more subtle manifestations of me consciousness might include all the ways we just get so caught up in ourselves that we have nothing left for the world around us. You know, it can look like depression. It can look like getting absorbed in worries and survival fears,
mm-hmm.
or just becoming so busy with the demands of life that we just don't have anything left to extend kindness or caring. Sometimes it can look like that place of stubborn self-sufficiency, you know, that forgets that other people might actually want to be there for us if we could just bring ourselves to reach out.
Right.
And I think that there's a way that prosperity in these times needs to come through cooperation and collaboration and community rather than through that purely personal advancement, even if it's using spiritual techniques of, okay, I'm going to create my vision board and do my affirmations and just meditate until it happens. You know, when it doesn't happen quite yet, what happens next is that we do go into our own little self-absorbed place of me and mine and why can't I have it?
Mm-hmm.
But I think now interdependence has to be our new path. And just interestingly, I think that so many of the new business models that are really hot nowadays are reflecting this. There's a book out. It's called The Mesh, and I wish I could remember the author. It's all about resource sharing as the new business approach, and it just makes the point over and over again of how that's just a big direction, not just for spiritual folks, but this is how business is going. So, you know, as counterintuitive as it may sometimes feel, if we want to increase our prosperity, I think we really need to be looking at our experience of interdependent community and look at, well, who's really there for us emotionally, spiritually, in times of need? Who can we really rely on, and who do we allow to rely on us? Who are we really there for? You know, this is one of the reasons that I'm doing this Making Miracles project in the way that I am. I'm not just going out there and saying, let's raise money for Seva. I'm saying, get together with your friends. Do some miracle work. Because my hope is that people who perhaps have been meeting with groups of people for a long, long time are going to start taking the next step of turning those acquaintances, even friends, into people who are really intimately there for them now, and
mm-hmm.
who they are really there for in maybe deeper ways than they have been in the past. Because I think that's literally a piece of our financial well-being, is
mm-hmm.
having that kind of interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy I heard speak on public radio, or maybe it was, I don't know, I think it was the Tom Hartman show, a political show, and he, I can't remember his name, but he was a psychiatrist and also a Lakota shaman. And
mm-hmm.
he was talking about all the mass depression he was seeing around the crash of a few years back, the financial crash.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that in his experience, what worked better than any medication for depression was,
mm-hmm.
first off, exercise, and
mm-hmm.
second, not in any less importance, was people. And he said that in the Lakota tradition, people had a healing circle, but he hadn't really seen very much in mainstream white culture that was similar to that. And ever since I heard that, I really have been urging people to find your healing circle, create your prosperity circle, your miracle circle,
mm-hmm.
Make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I think is really important to our creating a new financial season, both personally and collectively.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And by the way, that book is The Mesh, Why the Future of Business is Sharing by Lisa Gansky, I believe. So,
Thank you.
Does that sound familiar?
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I have to look it up because I have a recommended reading list that I'm composing, and it's going to be put out there in a little bit for my listeners who want to kind of, you know, your book is on the reading list, the recommended reading list. So, for people who want to go and refer back to reading and then websites and so on. So I will definitely put that on the reading list, and I'm going to take a gander at that myself. So, and that is so true about, you know, depression. People are more depressed than ever. You know, people are turning to medications, which is surprisingly.
Yeah.
I think the antidepressants are being so, it's like the doctors are handing them out like candy. And, you know, oh, you're depressed? Here's some Zoloft, or here's some Malta, or, you know. And what people don't realize is you don't need to go through life, you know, taking all this stuff. Not that I'm saying if you are, you know, clinically depressed or bipolar, I'm not saying that at all, if you're, you know, treated with a clinician.
Yes,
but,
it's got its uses, yeah.
Yes, it's got its uses, but also there's other ways to kind of enhance your life. And that's why I think your objective is, Lynn, is to enhance people's lives. Because as you help others, you know, that's why I have the show. That's why, you know, I want to educate people on ways that's not mainstream. And, yes, we, you know, everything, you know, The Secret went mainstream. And then what's the other one that they had? I mean, all those books that about manifestation and, you know, prosperity and abundance. But what really people do not, you know, we lost, I think, that that connection to community. So I think that's a good project. And it's interesting you're mentioning Ram Dass. I love Wayne Dyer. He's one of my guys, and I've been listening to his about Ram Dass. So that's interesting. So, Lynn, what about anything else you want people to know about your work? Is there anything that I missed, or, you know, what else do you want to offer to people today? I mean, you have webinars, I believe.
Oh, yeah. More and more, I'm making all of my programming available to people wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to travel to me, and I don't even have to travel to you. I have a webinar that meets more or less weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, like I said, I will come to your living room with your three or more friends. you know, we'll offer things like that to bookstores and spiritual centers that I'll just come to you electronically and do a workshop. I also have an ordination track, a program that's a year-long program. It's all online.
Mm-hmm.
it has all kinds of different aspects to it, from written material to recorded meditations to one-on-one coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lesson a week for a year for those people who want to deep dive into kind of the metaphysics of self and service. But my website, you know, just go play on my website. I've got all kinds of stuff. I have a free,
yes, you do.
I have a free healing request ministry. You can leave a request for healing, and I have distance healers who will send to you.
Interesting. Yeah, you have. I'm looking at your website now. You do. You have about the Making Miracles, and there's some. I'm gonna post some stuff on the website. The Angel Answers, and I'll tweet it out and put my Facebook page. But you have different. You have different events, and you've got web. You have it on the Tuesday nights, right? I believe so.
Yes, Tuesday nights.
And then the Making Miracles, and then the Spiritual Healing. And what's the Oracle? What is that about?
Oh, that's just for fun. You know, to get your little message for the day, you can just go on there, and it works with synchronicity.
Tune
in, you ask a question, you click, and you get a message.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, you've got some fun stuff on your website here. That's pretty cool. I'm going to have to look.
In fact, we're going to make... another, on Indiegogo, when you give a donation, there's all kinds of different perks depending on your donation amount. One of the things we're going to have available is anyone who gives even just a few dollars will get your message for the day. And this is a whole different oracle I've created where you'll get your little message of guidance for your $3 donation.
Okay, cool.
To save up.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. You got a lot of, and you've got the Miracle Cafe too. You got all that wonderful stuff here. It's great. So it's interesting. So yeah, Lynn, I think this is all good. I mean, you've got a lot of things going on here since I last spoke to you. I mean, you really expanded.
Yeah. I'm always busy. Yeah.
Yes, I know. The spiritual work does that to you for a while. I was just telling a friend before I got on the show. I'm like spread so thin with different things. I'm writing a book. I'm doing this. I'm hoping my story can help somebody.
I'm sure it will.
You know, because I think that if we all get out there and be a community, like you said, because I'm a psychic reader, so I'll talk to people. And I had a lady yesterday that she had gone through similar circumstances I did, and it's nice to talk to somebody that's been on the path before you have and gone through the healing journey, and you can kind of share. And I think that's what we forget, that when we share of ourselves, when, the Course talks about sharing it makes it real for us, we can really help another person, and that's very important that we share of ourselves, whether that's an experience, prayer. Pray for that person like you're doing with the miracle experiment. I feel like that's where we need to be, and that's where we're shifting here. And I think as we get into 2013, there's going to be more shifts and changes to the benefit. And people don't like change, but it's happening. We're growing.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And,
In fact, my webinar tomorrow is going to be a lot about embracing change. Tune in, folks.
Yes, embracing the change within.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sweetheart. Go ahead.
A lot of people these days are just talking about how life is just getting faster and faster and more stressful. I just hear that over and over and over again. And I think some of the reason for that is that we are so in between paradigms. And many of us are still operating in life from the paradigm that says, I need to be self-sufficient. I need to do it all myself. And we've had all of our codependency lessons, like we don't want to be codependent. We don't want to be dependent. And we haven't figured out that other path, which is interdependence. And I think some of the stress we're experiencing is because we're still going about life in this way of I have to do it all myself, when we've moved into the times where we need to be doing it together. And when we start to allow that, everything becomes so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so stressful anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy thing to learn how to receive. I actually had a lesson of my webinar up on my website that was all about receiving, and I had it just up there as a free offering. And I've been talking to my assistant saying, get that back up there. If anybody out there wants to view that for free, just send me an email, and I'll make sure it gets back up there, because I think that's such an important lesson.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn how to receive. And
yes, I agree with you.
So many of us, I think, especially those of us who are committed to our spiritual lives, we give and give, and we don't get it, that actually, if we can't receive, we're not really giving very well either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a way that giving and receiving at the highest level are really just about joining in love.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Receiving with our heart fully open and with gratitude flowing mm-hmm. is an incredibly powerful gift that we give back.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is that exchange, that joining in love that is the highest octave of giving and receiving is so rejuvenating. It heals both giver and receiver. It fills us up. It starts miracles happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, and I'm guilty of this too, Miss Independent here. You know, I think Kelly Clarkson, wrote a song about me. No, I'm just kidding, but Miss Independent, I'm not, and this is one of my life lessons too, is being able to receive, sometimes, I'm not saying I'm the ultimate giver because I'm not. Sometimes I get, we get all selfish. But, sometimes it was and it's just, when people offered to help me with, when my father was ill in the beginning of the year, and just offered their support, and I was just like, whoa, where is this all coming from? It's like those worthiness issues were coming up, self-worthiness. But it felt good to have people kind of help me for a change.
Yeah.
And, I think that's what we forget, that people want to help us. They really do. And
yeah.
If they see a human in pain, they want to. I feel like our natural inclination is to help another person, but sometimes we get that, fear factors put into us. I think at least that's what I'm,
Again, it's that duality that is so ingrained that says, I can take care of you or me. And I know it's a really good thing to take care of you, but I am just so burned out right now.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is more the norm than the exception for people who are committed to their inner lives and their spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we wind up having to get sick in order to give ourselves the corrective balancing experience of being on the receiving end of nurturing attention and our own attention.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yes.
That's sometimes the lesson we need to learn. We don't learn until we get sick and are forced to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're forced to give up our, I think it's about control too. We're
Absolutely.
Trying to control our aspects of our lives, and I'm not going to let you in because I don't know what kind of person, I don't know what I'm going to get from you or, whatever because of hurt. But now is the time to really start, like you said, getting into community and really being able to, I'm not saying, join hands and start singing Kumbaya here. I'm not saying that. But, people are like, hey, you smoking something? But seriously, no, and I don't do drugs. I don't do anything. I take multivitamins every day. We want to just, start reaching out and helping others. And I feel like your experiment maybe a safe way for people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if they're uncomfortable getting out of their comfort zone, maybe, getting together with a couple of girlfriends and, starting, because the book is phenomenal. Your book has really changed a lot of things in my life just reading it. I'm like I said, I've loaned it out twice, and I'm waiting for my friend to give it back to me so I can read it over again, because sometimes it's good to read over some things here. So we got a few minutes, Lynn. Where can people find you? Where can we hunt you down? No, just kidding.
Please do hunt me down.
Okay, well, don't say that too willingly.
In a good way.
Yes.
In a confidential way.
In a loving, practical way, in a community
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Just go to my website. It's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Woodland, Woodland.com. And as I said, if anybody would like to view that receiving webinar for free, just send me an email and I'll make sure it gets up there as a free offering again.
Okay.
And I just need somebody to jog my memory.
I know, I forget things too lately. It's like, whoa! It's like, okay.
And I hope people listening really will take me up on my offer to come and meet with you and your friends. The technology you need is really very simple. We can walk you through it. It's not hard. You need a computer, the internet, modern computer that has Skype capability, that has a microphone and a camera built into it. For bigger groups, you can hook it all up to your flat screen TV. For communities, you can even use a projector and screen. It's not hard, and we can give you tech support. Invite me over. You know, I'll lead a presentation. It's fun. It's experiential. It's informative. It's a way to go a little deeper, perhaps, with some of your friends. It's perfect for book study clubs. And, you know, I already have a number of spiritual communities who are booking me for an event. It's a great way to do service and have a good time and feel good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's fun. It's actually kind of fun when you do all this stuff and,
yeah.
you know, the experiments. And, you know, you just really, like you said, it also expands you in different ways. You know, I mean, a lot of us are on the spiritual path, whether we know it or not or want to admit that at this time. You know, it helps us with our spiritual expansion, too. You know, it just kind of brings us into another level of being and feeling good about ourselves. When you give,
yeah.
feel good about yourself, at least that's kind of where I'm at. You know, and I know a lot of my listeners are, too. So.
And then with this work, then people just start seeing all these cool things happening, you know, healings and new jobs popping up and, you know, all the great little serendipitous manifestations are just such a fun part of the journey as well.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a fun, it's not about the destination, as I tell my clients. It's about the journey. It really is about the journey, and it's fun. It's like a roller coaster. You don't know what dips and turns sometimes when you go on a roller coaster, but it's fun, and life can be fun. It doesn't have to be a drudgery. But, you know, it's what you make out of it, too. It's your attitude or your perception. So it's really cool. Well, Lynn, it's been a pleasure, as always. You are an inspiration to all of us. I'm glad that you came back on the show. You know, it's been great. I appreciate you bringing this idea out. Kind of gives us a good reminder, you know.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was delightful.
That's always one. Well, you have a great day, and may the angels carry my listeners through until next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.